Dead of Night by W.F. Harvey. Athelstan Digby lay reading in bed. It was after 11. The servants had long since retired to rest. All was still, except for the ticking of the grandfather clock on the landing and the gentle slit-slit of Mr. Digby's paper knife as he cut the pages of his book Across Arabia on foot. He was not a great reader, but he was fond of travel, and he held a theory that for reading in bed, no books compared with travel books. Every night, he would say, we set out on a journey in the dark, and though we are unable to choose the route, it lies in our power to suggest it, and I, for one, prefer to cross the frontier of dreams at Baghdad or Trebizond, than see enough of Bradborough during my waking hours. On the present occasion he found the adventures of the young American, whose steps he followed in the blazing heat across the desert, more than usually interesting. The watch on the chest of drawers by the bedside impatiently reminded him of the seconds of slumber wasted, but Mr. Digby read on. Suddenly the room was darkened. For half a minute or so he was conscious of a faintly glowing filament in the globe of his reading lamp, and then all was blackness. Mr. Digby jumped out of bed, and putting aside the heavy curtain that hung in front of the window, he raised a corner of the Venetian blind. Somewhere an air raid was in progress in the distance. Not a light was to be seen, except in the hollow to the south, where a faint glow, he supposed it must come from one of the Blackman Lane forges, showed carmine against the February sky. From the next house but one in the terrace came the sound of a window sash noisily lowered. Then, as he looked, the lamps in the road went out. Not suddenly, but one by one. It takes time for terror to extinguish hope. Mr. Digby's heart went pitter-pat. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, he said. I am glad the maids are in bed and asleep. Turning, he groped for the candlestick that stood on the chest of drawers, struck a light, and looked at his watch. It was nearly 11:30. Then, putting on his dressing gown, he placed the candle on the floor in a corner, where its light would not be directly visible from the road, and went over to the window. The glare was still present in the southern sky, but as he gazed, an angry tongue of flame shot forth. Fire had chosen that night of nights to betray their sheltering darkness. It's not in Blackman Lane, he said to himself. It's far more like the paper mills in Sample
complete. Ready to continue?